1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Stand by. And now, Scared Straight, 911 operator version.
911 operator.
Oh, God, I'm son.
What?
My son's in the bottom of a swimming pool. Oh, God, no, no, no.
Your son's in the bottom of a swimming pool, is that it?
Yes, sir.
Scary County, a kid in a pool. How'd he get there?
I need an ambulance. My son's face down in the bottom of a swimming pool. Please, please, dear, sweet, loving God.
Yeah, you can pray all you want, and that's fine, and that's great. I'm glad you're a Christian, man. I asked you a question. I want a direct answer.
I need an ambulance. My son, he's a three-year-old infant. He's in the bottom of the pool.
Good for him. Good for you. Great. You know how many calls I get a week?
Is this 911?
You got that. Bingo. Give the man a cigar. Kid in the pool, yeah.
Well, you sending an ambulance or not?
Well, yeah, I'll send an ambulance. I want to know how the kid got in the bottom of the pool in the first place. Do you understand the connection between you, kid, and pool? You, kid, and pool. Say it with me now.
You, kid, and pool.
Yeah, you, kid, and pool.
Okay.
How's the kid in the pool?
Well, I was making Bloody Marys with Susie, and we had Tommy Lee and his wife Pamela over, and...
Oh! So you had the big rock star? Where's your man, Tommy Lee?
Yeah, he was here.
What, was he teaching you how to put a kid at the bottom of a pool?
Well, that's the most insensitive thing.
Yeah, it's pretty insensitive. Guess what's even more insensitive? I'm not sending an ambulance. Isn't that insensitive?
Are you scumbag? You better...
No, I don't think I will. No, I just don't feel like it. Bob, call that ambulance back. I don't feel like it.
Roger, he doesn't feel like it.
45 L.A. County, he doesn't feel like it.
What do you mean you don't feel like it? My boy's drowning.
Drowning? He's probably dead already. You want to know why? Because you were in the kitchen making Bloody Marys with Tommy Lee and Pamela. So the kid's at the bottom of the pool, just a lump of dead flesh, because you had to have a drink. Well, the kid's dead. He's dead. And you'll never bring him back. Never.
Wait a minute. He's okay. He's out now.
Gotta be of service, sir.
First of me. You messing with me?
Scared Straight, 911 operator version. Join us next week for Scared Straight, preschool teacher. Woo! 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, that was pretty funny. I wanted to talk to you about something that I heard referenced on your program last hour.
Yeah.
I heard one of your callers referencing the Mad Hatter from Alice in Wonderland, and I'm sure many people who've read that are familiar with it.
Yeah, the Mad Hatter was the character in Alice in Wonderland, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with the fact that the Mad Hatter is on account of there was something once upon a time called Mad Hatter's disease. And I'm not knowing if you're familiar with that at all.
Mad Hatter's disease? I'm not familiar with that, no. What did that have to do with the Mad Hatter from Alice in Wonderland?
Well, yeah, Lewis Carroll incorporated that in his tome on account of, at the time, there was a disease called Mad Hatter's disease. And I've got a friend of mine, Toby Bowe. His grandfather was a haberdasher in Chicago, sold fedoras and bowler hats to members of the legal profession in Chicago, as well as some underworld figures. He sold a bowler hat one time to Dion O'Banion, who was subsequently gunned down by the Bugsy Moran gang. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, man, I think so. So
okay. Anyway, Toby was telling me that the Mad Hatter's disease primarily comes from the fact that back in the 19th and 18th century, hatters or haberdashers used formaldehyde to shape the rims and the basic shape of the hats. And breathing the formaldehyde all day long made the hatters or the haberdashers go very, very mentally unstable. They'd be very wrong mentally. It would be all wrong mental. And so that's why they call it Mad Hatter's disease.
Are you serious?
Yes, I am. I mean, Toby's here. He can tell you. Right, Toby?
Yeah, most of what he said is true, Mr. Henry. Except my...
Never mind. Okay.
Yeah, I don't need to hear him. So, Mad Hatter's disease is an actual thing that comes from sucking formaldehyde.
Yeah, that's true. And one of the reasons why I'm prone to believe the story, and because when Toby told me, too, I said, what? You know, I mean, I wasn't really there with it. I used to work over at Covina Animal Hospital, and the doctors use ether to clean off sometimes scar tissue, or they'll use ether to kind of get the adhesive from bandages off of the dogs and the kittens. You know, Mr. Hendry? You know?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it was my job once a month to go out and fill the ether cans, and I noticed, you know, I mean, I don't want to say, but I noticed after going out and filling the ether cans, and I breathed it in a few days, it's mood altering. I'm sure of it. I'm sure that I had sort of a molecular experience after breathing the ether cans for the animal hospital. So,
well, isn't that great, man? You had a molecular experience.
Well, I mean, that's...
No, I know. All right, so, well, I didn't know that. I mean, I that is very interesting. So Mad Hatter's disease is actually from guys that made hats.
Yeah, isn't that right, Toby? Because, yeah, my grandfather did hats. And
I don't need to hear. I understand.
You don't need to hear. So that's all I wanted to say, because a lot of times people say, oh, he's as mad as a hatter. Well, yeah, you would be, too, if you were snorting the juice they use to... cool a guy out after he's dirt napped, you know, Mr. Hendry.
Yes. Thank you. Okay, so cool. Now we've learned about Mad Hatter's disease. It's from sucking formaldehyde. 1-800-449-8686. The Jim Rome Show coming up here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And we'll also be talking with Logan Benson, My Grandpa Says, another edition of what Logan Benson's grandpa is telling him to say to me, because his grandfather's too lazy to call a talk show himself. And also Lloyd Bonafide to demonstrate how not to lift a 250-pound barbell. 1-800-449-8686. Our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
No, but people have been calling in, and they have said that it is mercury.
My understanding is it's formaldehyde. Isn't that right, Toby?
Yeah, my grandfather said it was formaldehyde, but he could have been wrong.
Okay, so...
I got about 85 million calls from people saying it's mercury. That them guys sucked to get nuts.
The Hatters?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not familiar.
What are you talking about, man? It was mercury. That's what everybody's telling me. Even Jeff Clark, who ought to know.
Well, I know Jeff. Is that the dude that lives up Ortega Highway?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's all messed up. He's the guy I heard the story from originally. Well, I mean, Toby heard it from him. And
I thought Toby's old man was a haberdasher in Chicago who made bowler hats for Dion O'Banion.
Well...
Get out of here.
Can I get a free CD?
It's called, who cares? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. All right, now, we're going to read some email, and we're also going to, I want to get to this story. There's no good way to segue into a sports story.
Here we go, I'll do it for you, Phil.
Go ahead.
And now, it's sports.
Well, anyway, I was talking to James Washington, who is the former great standout. See, here's why I'm telling the story. Many, many people will tell you, and, you know, the football season's over, but I hear it every year. I hate the Super Bowl. Well, why? It's just a bunch of big guys hitting each other, this and that. And I was at the premier cocktail party, and I'm talking to this young guy, James Washington, who used to play a defensive back for the Dallas Cowboys. And James is an amazing story. He was drafted by the Rams, and then he went on to play with Dallas, played in a couple of Super Bowls, won himself Super Bowl rings. He was also the defensive captain for the Cowboys a few seasons. And it was his responsibility to call the defensive signals. And that is, as the defensive captain of the team, he calls the signals, the defensive signals, to counter whatever the offense is. I bet you didn't know that, a lot of you guys who were not football fans. Now, let me tell you this theory that I have about people who don't like football. It isn't that they don't like it because they think it's not erudite, or it's not it's too brutish, or it's a sport that is loutish and is violent. You know why people who don't like football really don't like it? Because they don't understand it. Because it's beyond them. It's above them. Seriously. They can't bring themselves to admit it's a game that they cannot grasp. It's mathematical. It's tactical. And as well as physical. And for someone who considers themselves to be, like an intellectual, or someone who thinks that they're too smart for any kind of a sport, especially football, for them to actually admit that they don't understand it because it's too difficult to understand in terms of its strategy is probably something that they could never bring themselves to say. So instead, they come up with the usual, well, I don't like it. So I was talking to James Washington, and he articulated exactly why I like that game. He didn't know it, but he's telling me this story. I asked him, okay, you played in a lot of Super Bowls. You played against a lot of great quarterbacks. Who's the best quarterback you ever played against? Now, James Washington played against, as a defensive back, Joe Montana. He played against Brett Favre. He played against some great quarterbacks. He said, I don't even have to think about that one, John Elway. I said, now tell me why. He said, I can tell you why just by describing this one game situation. And he said they were in a game, it was a late season game against Denver, and he is staring into the eyes of Elway, who is standing at the line of scrimmage, calling the signals and doing what is called checking off, calling audibles. And as Elway checked off, called an audible, then James Washington calls an audible to counter what he's doing. Now, behind Elway, on the far end of the stadium, is the play clock. He's looking at Elway, and he's looking at the play clock. And behind James Washington, at the opposite end of the stadium, is the play clock, and Elway is looking at the play clock, and he's looking at Washington. And he said, I'm telling you, our eyes were locked on each other. Every now and again, we'd glance at the play clock, but I was looking at him, and he was staring at me. And every time he audibled, I audibled. And every time I checked off, then he would check off again. And he said, that's the kind that this is James Washington talking. He says, that's why I love to play football. It was just for that moment. And I said to him, it's one of the reasons why we like to watch it. It's one of the reasons why fans of the game love it, because we understand that that stuff's happening on the field. He said it was in that instant. I've been able to read quarterbacks my whole career, but Elway was a guy that was tough. You could not take your eyes off of him. And as it turns out, I'm sure he wouldn't have told me the story if it turned out any other way. As it turns out, they were able to counter whatever it was Denver was trying on that play, and they won the game. But he couldn't lose concentration for a second, because the wrong call, Elway had something to counter it, boom, down the field to go, touchdown. That's why that guy was Mr., two-minute drill. But I heard that story, and I looked at my wife. I said, now, my wife has grown to like football because she's got, a son that plays it, a couple of sons that played it. But I said, that's the reason why I like this game, and I think it's the reason why a lot of people don't like it. It's too tough. It's too tough to understand. It's certainly, the average person can't talk about that game with any real intelligence. You're going to sound like an idiot.
Well, I don't watch football. It's
really? What don't you like about it?
Oh, it's just a lot of idiots. I mean, I don't want to go into it. Of course you don't want to go into it. You couldn't begin to go into it. You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
So James Washington leaves the professional ranks, played on the Dallas Cowboys and won Super Bowls. And here's a guy that was raised in South Central Los Angeles and was rescued from a gangland life by his grandparents, went off to college, drafted by the Rams, played for the Dallas Cowboys, and now James Washington
is a wheeler and dealer in real estate, making himself a beautiful life. And he's doing a sports show for us on Fox Sports.
You almost said fork spots.
I know what I almost said. On Fox Sports Network. Now, that ain't a dumb guy. And that moment that he was describing between him and Elway, as they looked at the play clock and they looked at each other and they couldn't take their eyes off of each other, as that moment, and as the seconds of the game clock were ticking away, man, I'll tell you, that there's nothing like hearing that story. I loved it. And so that's why next week I'm retiring from radio and I'm becoming a professional football player. Now, if Washington can leave the football ranks and do this, I can leave here and do that. By the way, speaking of football players going into broadcasting, you got guys like James Washington who are actually, you know, and Brian Cox, too. They're doing very well. And then you got Tim Green, who's got, what, he's going to be the host of Current Affair? Give it up, Green, you moron. Look, just because you wrote a book, man. As a matter of fact, because you wrote a book, you can't do television. Don't you understand that? This guy was writing books before he did TV. All right, here's an email. Hi, Phil. I'm an Arden fan and backstage pass holder. I listen to you on the internet on Laker game days out of Los Angeles. Anyway, I love Herb Sewell and think a great line for him would be the one from Dr. Strangelove. I think it was the general who kept going on about conserving precious bodily fluids. Keep up the good work, Charlie. Hi, Phil. I'm a fan of Art Bell and, of course, General Johnson Jameson. Any chance of getting some cool AM Coast to Coast souvenirs for the shop? Maybe something made by Peenemann Enterprises, like the ass purse or the earth handle. Rich. Yeah, what was the earth handle when the earth goes out of orbit? And then I got an email here from, and I get this all the time. Phil, you mentioned a tequila on your show. What's the name of the brand? I can't remember it. If you'd please enlighten me as the name, I would greatly appreciate it. I've been a fan since you were on in Atlanta and a backstage pass member for a couple of years. I love your show. You're a great man. Yada, yada, yada. Don Julio Blanco, Rob. B-L-A-N-C-O is the Blanco. The Añejo is the aged stuff. Blanco is aged anywhere from 6 to 8 months. Don Julio Añejo is aged anywhere from 8 months to 2 years. You won't get a better bang for your buck. Don Julio.
Imported by Schlitz.
All right. So thanks a lot for that, brother. And keep in mind, I don't, you know, I'm not claiming to be some kind of a genius when it comes to, you know, tequila. But I will tell you this right now. I know what Rotgut tastes like. And I know what a good value for your dollar is. If you want to spend $50 for Patron, be my guest. And here's the other thing I get from people. Oh, well, you know what? We're all Americans. What do we know? Why are you so effete? How come a tequila drinker can't be effete? Wine drinkers can. Boy, you talk to wine. And I don't think there's anything more boring than drinking wine. That's just my personal opinion. Oh, my God. I would rather have my eyes put out with knitting needles than sit around with a bunch of wine drinkers. The only wine drinkers I like hanging around with are the guys that are down there by the roundhouse at the Union Pacific Station. You know those guys with the ass hanging out of their pants? And they got, you know, and they got the fortified stuff? Those are the wine drinkers I like. You know, these guys with this wine. You know, you want to know what I think?
I think guys that drink wine are lightweights.
Lightweights. Oh, I got a bottle of this and I got a bottle of that. You know, it's an 1851 or a 19. For who cares? Go ahead and drink your vino. Okay? Papasan. But the minute you start talking about tequila in terms other than let's go pound some shots, all of a sudden you're trying to be something you ain't, right? I'm just telling you. $50 for a bottle of the Añejo or the Blanco is a better buy than 50 or 55 for the Patron Silver. I don't care who you're talking to, okay? And don't you ever go into a bar and spend, what are they getting for a shot of Patron, $20, $30? Don't you ever do that. Might as well give yourself get yourself a shot of that Blanco. Or find out if they've got a corking policy and bring your bottle in yourself.
What do you mean corking policy? What's that about? That's sexual?
Yeah, that's right, bud. It's sexual. What a moron.
Well, what is it?
Corking means you can bring your own bottle in.
What are you talking about, a corking policy? It's like you're putting a plug in.
Yeah, man. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
From Los Angeles, the Jim Rome Show on the Premier Radio Networks. Welcome back. Coming up this hour, talk to the Commissioner of Baseball, Bud Selig. Find out if there's going to be baseball next year and what configuration it will take on. It's a very interesting conversation I'd like to have with the commissioner. Let's find out what will baseball be like next year. Because I'm not sure if they want to go with the five ball, two strike rule or what. That's pretty whack. But by the same token, I see the other side of it. If you're announcing, you're saying ball six, I mean, what is that about? Yeah, so that's kind of something we can talk about this hour. Also coming up, having a really good conversation with a very, very dear friend of mine, Roger Maris. And I was able to tape this just before he died. At least it was somebody who claimed to be Roger Maris. And I have no reason to believe that it was not Roger Maris. Didn't he just die last week? Or am I getting wrong information? Because I taped a conversation with a gentleman 2 weeks ago who I was told was Roger Maris. Now I'm being told that wasn't Roger Maris? Okay, what's up with that? I mean, if dude's dead, why can't dude tell dude's dead? Dude's dead. Dude wants to know. Dude dead? Okay, take some phone calls and some email. What's up?
Yeah, Romy. Roger Maris died a bunch of years ago. I think the whoever you talked to had to be a fake. And
you know what? Why don't you leave the sports journalism to me? Dude's dead. I'll find out about it. Dude didn't tell me. Okay, I'm going to be interviewing this hour on the program right now. A gentleman knows a lot about the baseball steroid case, and I want to do an update on steroids and what... Hold on for a bit. I'm chewing some gum here, Travis, and I'm choking on a little bit. I want to do an update on the steroid case. Let's do it. Just go to phone call here for a minute. Yeah, hi, what's up?
Hi, Jim. Hey, Hank here from Titletown. Hey, Jim, you know that guy who called you last week, that shoe peddler who said that he was all about the Boston Bruins? Yeah, that's right. He's all about the Boston Bruins. It's like he's all about Florsheim. I mean, something's missing between then and now, guy. Get it? On to another topic. Neckahaw. I don't know about you, Jim,
but I think the annual college baseball series is actually a contributing factor to the lessening of crime in America, given the fact that most of the criminal mentality gathers around Neckahaw for the collegiate World Series, if you'll pardon the expression. And another thing, Jim, whatever happened to the days when... Wait, I wrote it down here. Whatever.
Okay, I said no writing down your takes. All right, I want to do a report here on the baseball steroid case.
Travis, I'm choking.
Jimmy, okay?
I'm choking on the gum.
Jesus. Don't play the music, you jackass. Jim's choking here.
Jim, I'm going to give you the Heimlich, okay?
Whatever it takes.
All right.
Oh, Travis, my man. You saved me. You saved me, Travis. You saved me, man.
It's okay. Just get back to the show.
No, no, I can't. You saved my life. Dude is going to do a report on steroids. Dude choked. Dude's gum lodged in dude's throat. Now dude is in love with dude. This dude's in love. This dude's in love with you. Holy Jesus. The Jim Rome Show. That's right. No, seriously. Dude loves dude. On the Premier Radio Networks. Okay, thanks very much, the Jim Rome Show. 1-800-449-8686. Yes, sir.
Hi, Phil. I ordinarily like your program, but the last bit you did, the Jim Rome bit, seemed to be all over the road. Can you explain it for me?
Oh, well, excuse me, sir.
Well, don't be so touchy. I just want to know. It was all over the... What was the point of that bit?
It was a bit. It was a Jim Rome choking on his gum, and Travis gives him the Heimlich, and Jim proposes marriage.
Okay, that's fine, but what's up with... I just didn't get it.
Well, what's to get? I mean, you know...
Ordinarily, your Jim Rome bits are more concise and are a little bit more on target. That seemed to be kind of flying by the seat of your pants, you know?
Yeah, I agree, Phil.
Well, that's none of your business whether you agree or not, bud.
Well, why won't you let him say what he thinks?
Yeah, how come I don't get to?
Because I don't want to hear from you. Yeah, David.
No, I got to agree with the caller. The bits seem to be...
Everybody hang up, bug off, get out.
Dad, can't you take no criticism?
Not in the middle of the show, I can't, no. The bits all over the road. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Logan, go ahead, pal. How you doing?
Hello?
Logan, how you doing, buddy?
My grandpa says that it's not fair that the cripple in Florida gets more press than the chimp that ate the man's wiener. And my
hold on for a minute, Logan. Okay.
Oh, and my grandpa says.
Is that your grandpa in the background?
Pretend I'm not here.
My grandpa said...
Is that your... Logan, hold on.
Just ignore him and keep talking, son.
My grandpa said... my grandpa says that the little Indian boy that killed those people at the school was probably Al Qaeda because he's the same color as them. And
is your grandpa there?
Pretend like I'm not here.
And my grandpa...
Hey, Logan.
And my grandpa says that that pasty-faced queer Michael Jackson could have saved a lot of money if he never let those brats leave his house like John Wayne Gacy did. And my grandpa says that Easter's coming, but I won't get any chocolate bunnies because the Easter bunny hates me.
Okay, now can I talk to your grandfather?
No, hang up.
That pasty-faced queer Michael Jackson could have saved a lot of money if he never let those brats leave his house, just like John Wayne Gacy. Wah, wah, wah. So anyway, what did my wife say? My wife's now emailing Newman. That's great. She played basketball today. My wife plays... somebody got a pickup game of basketball for the housewives over where we live. Now, Maria played a little bit of basketball in college, and she played a whole lot of basketball in high school. I think she was like, she was on a traveling squad, I think, for her college team. She plays pretty decent basketball. She's a good rebounder. This is my wife coaching basketball. Rebounds, rebounds, rebounds! That's my wife. She coaches like the little 8 and 9 year olds because they always call her. Come on, Maria. We got to have somebody. I mean, the team is just, we're in big trouble. Big trouble. We got to push through to the top, to the first division this year, Maria. You're our only hope. You know, she's like that guy in Rocky. Remember,
hey, Mick, you want to come to my house?
You remember that old bum that Burgess Meredith played? She's like the guy that, Maria, no, I'm not coaching basketball this year. But come on. We don't have anybody else. So she gets out there with all these little 8 year old kids. Okay. Now, rebounds, hands up in the air, all that stuff, you know. So she's big on the rebound thing. In fact, basically, when we met, she was on the rebound.
Jesus.
Sorry.
I mean, you know, one of the things I like about you, Phil, is you don't go for that stupid kind of humor.
Never mind. So I had a conversation with her today. She said, oh, yeah, I went out and played basketball. I said, really? She said, yeah, it's a bunch of housewives. I said, how was it? She goes, well, we lost 9-13. You know, when you're talking to a woman, she always does the score the other way. What is it with women? And I shouldn't say women. I should say non-sports fans. My wife plays basketball, so what is that about? But it always seems like you're talking to a guy who doesn't understand or really follow the game. What was the final score? It was 98-115. We lost. Okay. So I said, how is it? She goes, well, the other team had a couple of big chicks. They were about 5'10", and I was the only one on our team that was worth a damn. But most of the women that were playing didn't quite get what basketball is. She said, I think a lot of these women think it's just an extension of their what do they call it? Spinning class, you know? In other words, it's like an extension of yoga. There's a game, and it's called basketball, and it's so much fun. The ball goes up and down, and then we shoot it into a hoop. And so they all want to go out there and play it like they're playing ping pong. So now they get out and they're playing a game. Well, you know, basketball, they called it a non-contact sport. Ha, 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 ha. And they're in the middle of scrambling for loose balls. And so Maria said she was going after the basketball, and she got her hands on it at the same time another player of the team did, which is called a jump ball. But this woman looks at her and goes, I have it! It's mine! And my wife said, yeah, but it's mine too. That's what's called a jump ball. Well, what? And then a couple of them were doing this thing. Ow! You know, I said, so what'd you think? She goes, and my wife is one of those people who kind of gives people their dues. Well, you know, they really tried hard. Well, that's okay. And they were all good sports. Yeah, I'll bet. There's Maria. You know, the great thing about my wife, the only time she ever loses her temper or ever really lets anybody have it is right in our house, either me or the kids, right? But when she's out in the world, throw an elbow, not her. I'll watch her play and say, will you please stick that elbow in someone's eye? No, I don't want to do it. I don't play that way. Oh, the hell you don't play that way. Come on. You play that way at our house. And because she's playing with these women. Ow! Anyway, the final score was 9-13. And I said, I got news for you. They ain't going to be back next week. She goes, you think? Oh, come on. As soon as they figure out what the hell they're up against. I mean, this is basketball, which means, you know, people are bumping into each other as they're trying to get the rebounds and all of this. And it sounds to me like you got a group of ladies there that are a little bit on the lightweight side of life, okay? You might want to start, you know, maybe, I mean, if you really want to get a pickup game going, start recruiting from the playgrounds. You know, go to some of the rougher areas where the mothers hang out. Go to some of the rougher mother areas. I don't know. Go down there where they're picking lettuce. Get some of those chicks. But this stuff, you got to go down there. You know, they just got back from the Starbucks, and they got to go back in and get their, they're going to get their tinting, you know, done. And, oh, yeah, wait a second. There's just, you got to go pick the kids up, and then they're going to have to go over here and have something else done, maybe a nose extension or eyeliners, or, you know, have their lips permanently tattooed red or something. And then they're going to go over to the pickup basketball game. I said, you go out, play pickup basketball, throw an elbow into someone's eye. That is what I call family values. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, the Kenny Rogers Help Me Pay Off My Gambling Debt So the Mafia Doesn't Kill Me special after this.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenny Rogers, and welcome to the Kenny Rogers Please Help Me Pay Off My Debts Before the Mafia Kills Me special. Thanks so very, very deeply. Everybody, I'm Kenny Rogers. Boy, there's nothing like a Kenny Rogers special to see some of the big, 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 huge, big, freaking huge names in show business. Folks, tonight we're very, very honored to have Molly Ringwald. It's going to be great. That's right. Tonight on our program, please welcome, along with all of us, please welcome the very, very talented Judd Nelson. And, of course, we're really, really excited, folks, to have on our program tonight. When's the last time you saw this guy? I think this guy's fantastic. Doug McGrath. Yes, folks, this is the Kenny Rogers, Please, Dear Sweet Christ, Help Me Pay Off My Gambling Debt special. You know who we've got on our program? The big, big names. You got it. Glenn Waltrow. Won't you please join me in welcoming Patrick Swayze. Sorry about that, Patrick. I know. You thought you were going to be right up there with Cruz. Just didn't happen, did it? Just didn't happen, did it, baby? Woo! That's right. Let's welcome to our program, folks, a guy that I love so very, very deeply, Keith Coogan. And, of course, Anthony Rapp. And here on the Kenny Rogers special, what Kenny Rogers special would be complete without the fantastic stylings, the great, great talent of J.J. Cohen.